We welcome you to this Resurrection Sunday. I think that there are a lot of times we can get caught up in the conspiracies and the griping about conditions around us and limitations put on us, but Resurrection Sunday should lift our hearts. We should rise above all that to focus on the goodness of God to us, that he gave his Son and raised him for our justification. In fact, when considering a text, and the first passage that I looked at was in John chapter 20. I was going to do more of a historical view, looking at the arrest and the trial and the crucifixion and then the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way of going about it would have been to take just a straight doctrinal position, like in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, where he says that he was raised for our justification. But I'd like us to focus primarily in one or two verses from Romans chapter 1 and take a very practical fact that he was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Romans 1:4. Consider with me that we have all been guilty at some point in judging by appearances. And had we been at the cross when Jesus was being taken down, we might have been fooled by the appearances of it all. The Roman soldiers and the Jewish religious leaders, as they were finishing their work and starting to walk away and took one more glance over their shoulder at Jesus being lowered down, the appearance to us would have been that they won and he was defeated. After all, he had been tortured for hours. He had died this cruel death. These Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, these religious leaders, looked at Jesus as a thorn in their side. He had not conformed to their norms. He had not applauded their religious standards and their interpretations. They had a form of godliness, but were denying the power thereof. And just about everything he said took away their authority. They had become jealous. In fact, some may have looked at him as a threat. They thought that somehow they were keeping the peace, and that the reason Rome wasn't putting their finger down on them and pressing down with a thumb is because they were keeping this happy medium. But if they really thought that, they had too great of an opinion of themselves. For God had directed all these events. And if there was a peace and this Pax Romana and the ability to travel and the ability to spread the gospel, all of this was because of God. And so as they look at Jesus being crucified, they can't help but feel a little justified in their thinking that they were right all along and he was wrong. After all, Jesus, look at him. Look at him. He appears to be weak and helpless and defeated and maybe even guilty. Isn't that what the law said? In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, a hanged man is cursed by God. He's hung up on the tree. He's on this cross. He must be cursed. You draw that conclusion. And so these Pharisees, with their austere manner and their very formal dress and the phylacteries on their forehead and the fringe on their garment, they don't look like there's any sweat off their brow what has happened this day. They still seem to hold authority and power. And Jesus appears to be defeated. But Paul says that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. We are trying to deliberately, purposefully refer to this Sunday as Resurrection Sunday, not so much as Easter Sunday. Not that there is anything wrong necessarily with colored eggs and family gatherings and other traditions and new clothes, things that are tied often with Easter. But for so many people, these things distract and detract, and they lose the sight that this is all about the risen Lord. So for us, may we be effective in proclaiming that this is all about Christ. I want us to see today, and I want us to show today, that Jesus was not just a man, and he certainly wasn't a sinner. Taken down from the cross was clearly this mauled, deformed, lifeless body. But God was about to prove something, demonstrate something, that Jesus was alive. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was the Eternal One. And that he had power, he possessed power to raise us from the dead, to grant salvation to us, to purchase us to God. He was the Son of God from all eternity. He possessed the right to be worshiped as God. So first of all, I'd like us to see this: the powerlessness of the human race to accomplish salvation. We have way too big of an opinion of ourselves if we think that there's anything that we can do to bring us to God, to change God's opinion of us. In fact, I seriously doubt that we could have stomached, we could have stood and watched the treatment of the Lord. In Matthew, or in Isaiah chapter 53, describes that torture. And it says that he was mangled, and all this was by the power of God. He was despised. There was no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. Despised, rejected of men. And all of this, we're told, yet it was the will of God to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring prolong his days. The Romans weren't in control. The Jews didn't have the power. It was God who was orchestrating, that had sent his Son for such a time as this to be our sacrifice. Death by crucifixion could sometimes go on for days. The Roman soldiers prided themselves as torturous men who knew how to do executions and prolong that and have people cry out in pain. They knew how to put the sword or the spear in the side and make sure that the person was dead. Jesus had not merely swooned and then been revived by the coolness of the tomb. But how does all this account for the fact that the resurrection fits into what Jesus proclaimed, his gospel that he came to preach? After all along he said that destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. Well, the fact is, concerning ourselves, we were bound by hopelessness and by helplessness. There was nothing we could do to change God's opinion. And as long as people cling to some idea of an inherent goodness, that there's something about us that is redeemable, acceptable, lovable, then we will never appreciate the greatness of the grace of God. Along with every other member of the human race, as a natural child of Adam, born with Adam's guilt and curse. Here's just a sampling of some things that we would have to admit about ourselves. Romans chapter 3 and verse 12. We were, Paul uses the word, worthless. And in verse 18, without fear of God. In 1 John chapter 5, in verse 19, the last part of that verse says that we were in the power of the evil one. There was no neutrality about lost man. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And in Romans chapter 6, several times, verses 17 and 20 tell us that we were slaves to sin. Slavery in America was not the brightest hour of America. To realize that we were bound fast and hopeless and helpless in our sin as children of Adam. We couldn't deliver ourselves. We couldn't deliver others that we love. In fact, we would be in love only with ourselves. And so the significance of the resurrection, of Resurrection Sunday, goes back not only to the cross, not only to his virgin birth, but it goes all the way back to the garden. The resurrection and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ remind us of the significance of the weight of our depravity, of our sin and our guilt, the cost of sin. Adam and Eve's failure, their sin, their transgression, their rebellion against God drove them from being able to be in the garden. The Lord had said in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17 that at such time that they would do this, he says, "You shall surely die, and we are dead in trespasses and sins, and death by sin." That failure, that rebellion, our sin puts us under divine condemnation, cuts us off from life and hope and the eternal presence of God, makes us the enemies of God. The Jews were given very clear instruction. Israel was given the law that told them when and what animals to bring for this sin sacrifice, this sin gift. But it is, Hebrews 10:4 says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sins. They had to obey. There was something symbolic here, and it was temporary. But the only one who could expiate, who could purge that, was the virgin born, fully obedient, sinless Son of God. He could atone. He could redeem us to God. Why is that? Because his life was of infinite worth. He was a sufficient substitute for us. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus willingly paid the price for our sin. And by his death, he made that sacrifice at Calvary and bought us for God. Secondly, we were beneficiaries of his grace. There could be no atonement, no forgiveness, no cleansing without the death of Jesus Christ. We would still be guilty before God. We would still be bound by sin. We would still be in a hopeless situation. Oh, the depth of our depravity is on display when we think that God sent his only begotten Son. So only when Jesus could cry out, "It is finished," would it truly be finished. Until that time, man could do nothing for himself. Our sins bound us in this regard. And only the Lord Jesus Christ could transfer us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and all by his power. Scriptures put it this way for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It is this empty tomb that is the hope of all mankind. No president, no party, no individual, no philosophy provides that for us. The empty tomb is the grace of God. So why did God send his son to die for us? And why did the Lord Jesus Christ rise again for us? Well, many people would probably answer that in order that we might have eternal life, so that we don't have to go to hell. The problem with that is that it makes mankind the centerpiece, the focal piece of salvation. The Bible tells us otherwise in Romans chapter 3 and verse 26 that Christ bought us to show us his righteousness so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 tells us that all of this is the work of God, according to the plan of God. All of this is to the praise of the glory of his grace. We didn't will ourselves to God. We didn't wake up one day and say, it's time for me to go from being a rebel to a saint, to go from being a combatant to a child of God. Ephesians 1 says we didn't find Christ. He revealed himself to us, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Because of something valuable in us, redeemable in us? No, it was all of him. It was by his grace. Ephesians 1, 4, it was because of his love. In chapter 1, verse 5, it was because of the purpose or the intention of his will. It was because of the riches of his grace, verse 7. It was according to his purpose, verses 9 and 11. Christ has redeemed us by his blood. He has done this not just that we will be saved from hell someday, but that we might declare his worth today. Ephesians 1:3 says that we might be holy and blameless before him, and we could say now. We're living holy lives that proclaim Christ, not just that he would save us from hell someday, but we can live however we want now. But that our lives reflect the reality of the resurrection and the power of God. So there was a powerlessness about ourselves to bring about the salvation that we needed, to even recognize that we needed salvation. And secondly, the power of Jesus as God was proven by the resurrection. Our text tells us, in Romans 1:3, concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, declared, determined, appointed. He didn't become the Son of God by rising, as some have taught down through history. He was exalted. He demonstrated by God that the Son of God was eternal God. We could take time to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that would answer, how does the resurrection fit into all this? Why is it this at the center of the gospel? It is because the empty tomb makes the empty cross so precious to us today. Jesus did not bring us merely by his teaching a moral example or by his death a martyrdom. Far greater than that. In fact, if that's all Jesus did, 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, we are of all men most to be pitied. Why is that? Because then we are still in our trespasses and sins. The power of God. Jesus declared as God. shown to be the eternal God and the rightful king by the resurrection. Point A, he proved that he was eternal God and only Savior. We don't look for another. And there's certainly nothing we need to do to finish this out. He finished it. Would you agree with me that no one can be truly saved who does not believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, who does not confess with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord? Fact is that the Lord made a number of claims and promises and prophecies. He claimed that he would rule. He claimed that he could save. He claimed to be the only one sent from God, that he always did the will of his Father. And all of this had an exclamation point put on it when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. There wouldn't have been redemption. We wouldn't know forgiveness of sin. We wouldn't be redeemed or isolated or lifted from our sin. We would still be in bondage to sin and the devil. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, that the human nature of Christ from David's line, but that the eternal, timeless, powerful presence of God, Jesus Christ as the Son of God from all eternity, was declared, was proven by the empty tomb. Again, Paul's not teaching that Jesus became the Son of God at that moment, or that he transferred from being a merely human Messiah to a divine Messiah, but that there can be no doubt now that he rose from the dead. He is the Son of God. He is Lord. He is able to purchase us to God. He is able to keep us to that day. Christ's power over death proved once for all that he is Savior and Lord. Or as Paul puts it in a different letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 13, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son he loves, his beloved Son. The fact that Jesus rose just as he said, the fact that it was a physical, not some spiritual resurrection, all of this takes the promises of God and verifies them and makes them to be fact. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And he makes us, Romans chapter 6, alive to God. We are the children of God. Because of the resurrection, Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we have newness of life. All of this is tied to the fact that he physically, miraculously rose. And we can say we are saved. Not just one day we will be saved, but we are redeemed. We are transformed. We are new creatures. We will have a new body. We will be with God for all eternity because he lives. Finally, he provided us with hope for eternal life with him. What a comforting thing that the Lord could say in the Gospel of John that he was going to prepare a place for you, that he would gather us to himself, and that where I am, you will be also. How precious are the promises seen in that glorious heavenly picture in Revelation 21 and 22, that he is the light. We are his people. the resurrection. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5 tells us that we have an identification in him, in his death, and in his life. We have hope for the future. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead, and he promises that we too shall live. We too, 1 John 3:2, will have glorified bodies. We too, who are, even though many of us will pass from this earth, our physical life will come to an end. We will be laid in a tomb. And yet, we will be, one of these days when the trump sounds, we will be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We studied recently in our church from 2 Samuel chapter 7 about the promises of God to David, the covenant that God made with David, that he would have an eternal heir, a king from his line. And Paul says that Jesus Christ was that heir, that the resurrection confirmed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the eternal king. I would say rejoice today that God saved us by his grace, demonstrated by the empty tomb that he has power to save, the power of the Son of God. We can comfort Ken. We can rejoice with Patty that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We can be sure that Christ gathers us to himself, not just in some spiritual, unexplained way, but as his body was physically, miraculously raised from the dead, so shall ours be. And he will give us a new body. These bodies that we walk around in and try to take care of the best we can, they're not meant to last forever. We will see him as he is. The apostles met with the risen Lord, and they preached, and they died, many of them, for this message of the risen Lord. They took this not as a secret, but as something to be declared, as something wonderful, something at the centerpiece of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why did God save you? Why did he rise from the dead? Ephesians 1:6, for the praise of the glory of his grace. Can we glorify God now, even in our homes, in a private way? And the answer is yes. As we read his word and turn to him in faith and trust his word and give him the glory, we can do that. But we can also glorify him with our testimony in the world that Jesus Christ is coming again. Let's close in prayer. Great God, our hearts are full because the tomb is empty. Our hope is in you, and our message is that Jesus lives. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Help us to shout out this good news and then live with confidence that your word gives. Give us comfort as we need it. Give us grace as you alone can give. Help us to live not for the hope that we will one day be saved from hell, but also that we might live to the power of your great glory, that your great grace may be demonstrated through us in the church in this darkened world. We thank you for the hope of the resurrection, that he was raised again for our justification. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.